I am Planta Online. This is the commentary.ca. Jerry Nichols joins me now. He's one of Canada's most prominent conservative thinkers, appearing in all of the major papers, the National Post most prominently of late. He is now the president of the Libertas Post, a fervent, nonpartisan voice for Canadians who believe in free markets, small government, and individual freedom. Jerry writes there regularly, and you can see his writing at libertaspost.com. I've long enjoyed his appearances on television, in print, and on radio throughout the country. He knows what's going on, and he's also rather funny. He is, as his bio states, quote, one of Canada's top five political minds. He was a longtime vice president of the National Citizens Coalition and the author of a book out earlier this year, Loyal to the Core, Stephen Harper, Me, and the NCC. You can get copies of that through his website, jerrynichols.com. In Toronto this day, I'm pleased to welcome to the Planta Online program, Jerry Nichols. Good morning, Mr. Nichols.
Good morning, Joseph.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Where did this top five political minds thing come from?
Well, somebody called me one of the top five political minds, so I stuck that to my moniker. I should say, though, I'm the one who called myself that. No, actually, that used to be a joke when I was at the NCC. That's what they used to call me, so I decided to adopt that as my trademark.
So I'm wondering who the other four are.
Well, definitely, Joseph, you're one of them.
Thank you.
That's all I can say.
So I can put that in my bio now?
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. What did you make of Stephen Harper singing that Beatles song over the weekend?
I worked with Stephen for 5 years when he was president of the National Citizens Coalition, and I knew he was a major Beatles fan, but I never knew he could pull off a stunt like that. And that was really amazing. It was really fun to watch, and I think it was really a PR coup for the Conservatives. It did probably more for Stephen Harper's image than all those million-dollar ads they ran with him, you know, wearing that stupid sweater.
Yeah.
I think it really blunted the main liberal attack on Stephen, or at least the main attack they were sort of engineering, which is that Stephen Harper's a mean guy or, you know, an angry guy. Made him look more human, made him look like somebody people could like.
Well, when you were working at the NCC together, were your offices close to, I guess, no, you worked in Toronto, he worked in Calgary, did he, or did he?
That's right. When Stephen was the president of the NCC, that one of his conditions in taking the job was that he had to have an office in Calgary. So we set up an office for him in Calgary, but our main administrative office was in Toronto. And he would come, he'd fly into Toronto about once or twice a month, and so I got to see him fairly regularly.
Well, was this a deal where, I read somewhere that he had left federal politics, I guess, when was that, in the 90s sometime?
1997.
Yeah, and then came to work for you guys.
Right.
Did you know at the time that when he got to the NCC that this was a guy that was going to be prime minister one day, perhaps?
Well, he kept telling us that he had had it with partisan politics, and that's why he decided to leave, and he joined the National Citizens Coalition, and he told us he joined us because he thought that would be a better way for him to promote ideas and to promote values, sort of freed from the shackles of partisan politics. I always kind of thought that there was still some political ambition in him. However, I thought his ambition was to run for the Premier of Alberta. I thought that's really what his main goal was. And I think maybe even it was his goal. It was only, I think, when the Canadian Alliance seemed to be going into sort of a meltdown mode,
mm-hmm.
that I think he decided he better go into federal politics to sort of save that party so it could still be a small C conservative voice.
Now, when you were at the NCC for more than 20 years.
That's right.
I seem to recall reading about your leave-taking there. It wasn't pleasant?
Well, it certainly wasn't my idea.
Right.
I wanted to hang around there a lot longer. I really enjoyed working at the NCC. My job there was essentially to do the communications, and I did the ad campaigns. You know, I one of my favorite ad campaigns was when we compared MPs to pigs to go after their MP pension plan. And more than that, I enjoyed it because it's at the time anyway, it reflected my own philosophy of promoting freedom. The motto of the NCC was more freedom through less government. So, and that's always been my passion to promote freedom. So I really enjoyed working there. They had other ideas. They decided they wanted to go in a different direction, and so they cut me loose a couple of years ago. You know, it still hurts me a little bit when I think about it, but you know, life goes on.
Now, you're not associated with them anymore, but looking back at your time there, just how significant was the NCC to the political discourse in this country? I mean, out here in Vancouver, I remember hearing about it at the time, and you know, that my thought was, and my thinking is now, that it did have an impact on what we talked about in the country's political arena?
Yeah, I think the NCC at the time, when I was there, certainly was a leading voice for freedom in this country. And I think the secret to our success was we didn't have a lot of money. We weren't as big as a lot of other organizations. But what we did know how to do was use the media effectively. We knew how to get ad campaigns out there that caught attention, that caught the media's attention. We knew how to sort of package our ideas and how to market our views in a way that was concise and easy to understand, and also fun. We always like to inject a little bit of fun with our message. And most of all, I think why we were so credible was that we were nonpartisan. We didn't support any political party, whether the conservatives or the liberals. We just supported the idea of freedom. And when we saw something that was wrong, we went after it with everything we had. And as I said, we were very effective in getting that message out. In addition to doing important ad campaigns, we also got involved in important legal challenges. For instance, we fought against what we called election gag laws, which were laws that denied all Canadians the right to free expression during elections. I think that was one of the most important campaigns we got involved in. We ultimately lost that fight at the Supreme Court of Canada, but it was something we had battled for 20 years. So I think that was a really major effort on our part. And of course, I guess one of the other things the NCC did was it provided a launching pad for a guy named Stephen Harper. So yeah, I think the organization was an important organization at its time.
But he seemed to have strayed from those ideals, or at least that's what you contend.
Well, they've gone in a different direction than when I was there. I think they tend to be a little more partisan. They tend to be a little more supportive of the Conservative Party. And that's fine. That's their right to do that. I think it's important, however, that there be a small-c conservative voice that is independent, that is just sort of sticking to the ideas, not so much caring about who wins elections, but caring about winning something which I think is more important, and that's winning the war of ideas.
And how do you do that? You use the media, obviously. How do you get to young people? The young people tend to think that conservatism or that side of the political spectrum, if you will, is dull. It's not as exciting, perhaps.
Well, yeah, I think that's definitely one of the challenges. And I think, and by the way, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to create this Libertas Post site, was to reach out to young people through the internet, which I think is an amazing new communication tool to reach people. And I think the way to do it is to sort of say, look, you know, right now socialism, big government, that's the establishment take on the world. That's the establishment way to run a country. We're kind of counter-establishment. We're kind of rebels. We're kind of going out there and saying we want to change things. We want to bring out a revolution that promotes freedom, that promotes the free market system, which we think is superior to socialism or to big government. And not only that, but it's morally superior. It's based on the idea of individual freedom. Now, these are all exciting ideas, and I think if we can communicate that excitement, if we can say, hey, look, this is something that's exciting, this is something that which could change our country, and it's something that would help, you know, make our country more prosperous to boot, I think that can be an effective message.
So that's a goal of the Libertas Post. You write there. Who else contributes?
Well, right now, it's sort of a one-man band. I'm sort of doing all the content on it. However, I'm having a lot of my friends contribute to the site. We have a lot of conservative bloggers who are going to be blogging in the site. I'm going to have some conservative columnists adding their two cents, and we're going to have regular columns on the site. I'm going to be blogging on it. So it's going to be sort of an interactive way for conservatives to communicate. I want to kind of create a sort of online community or a sanctuary for small-c conservatives can come, they can read stuff, maybe have a laugh or two. I'm going to try to inject some humor into the site, just as I did when I was at the NCC. I think I'm going to use humor as a bit of a weapon to get our message across. And also more than that, Joseph, I'm hoping the site will also be something which will help motivate or mobilize small-c conservatives into taking action and getting more involved in the political process so that we can help make this country a freer and better place.
Well, why do you think it is that in Canada we haven't seized on things like this? Like, well, why isn't there something like the Libertas Post? Why wasn't there something like the Libertas Post previously? Like in the United States, there are half a dozen or so, you know, reliable, high-content, conservative, repositories of comment. Why hasn't that happened in Canada? Is it because, I mean, the left or the mainstream media will tell us that Canada is not really a conservative country, or those ideals aren't here?
Yeah, of course, I would completely reject that premise. I don't think that Canada is a left-wing country. I don't think it's a right-wing country. I think most people in this country are non-ideological. And I think each side, both people who believe in more freedom and those people who believe in more government, have an opportunity to persuade people just who has the best argument. As to why we haven't had sites like this before, well, I think it's starting to emerge. I think Canada's small-c conservative blogosphere is vibrant. I think there's a lot of great voices out there, a lot of people, you know, saying the right kinds of things. I'm just trying to maybe organize it a little bit in this site so it's like a one-stop shopping where people can get all kinds of different conservative views in one site. And I'm hoping that, you know, through this site to promote other small-c conservative organizations and free market think tanks, that we get the word out there, so we help raise money for these organizations. I think one of the real problems is lack of money, is lack of funds. I think all small-c conservative organizations, that's a real challenge. How do you raise money to support these organizations? The left doesn't really have that problem. You know, often the government will subsidize left-wing pressure groups, or they'll get money from labor unions or those kinds of things. So it's a little more easier for them to get their message out. We have more of a challenge. But on the other hand, we have better ideas, so I think it might even out in the end.
You're not happy with this conservative government, are you?
Well, I think they're missing an opportunity. I think the Conservative Party under Stephen Harper is not the kind of party it can be. I know when Stephen Harper was president of the NCC, we used to talk about this all the time, and he said that what Canada needed was a true small-c conservative alternative to the Liberals, not a copy of the Liberals, not a carbon copy of the Liberals. And unfortunately, in a lot of ways, the Conservative Party is acting more like a Liberal Party than a true Conservative Party. And I think I think they're missing an opportunity to really push the agenda in this country. And I'm a little disappointed in Stephen Harper for the direction he's taking, because I know when I knew him at the NCC, he had a completely different take on politics.
Why do you think he's doing that? Is that to stay in power?
I think that's part of it. I think the Conservatives right now are sort of obsessed with holding on to power for the sake of holding on to power. It's like ideas or values or issues are secondary to them. What's important is winning elections. And I happen to think they can win an election. They can hang on to power by having a true small-c conservative voice. And now that they sort of be, you know, gaining some ground in the polls, I would hope they can say, you know, maybe we should start promoting a true conservative agenda and see what happens. Because I think the end result just can't be winning elections. They have to be in power to do something. They have to be in power to actually accomplish something, to make this country a better place.
Michael Ignatieff, he's a leader of the Liberal Party. Is he done?
Michael Ignatieff is a disaster. I can't think of any other way to say it. He seems to lack any kind of political acumen. He seems to lack political skills. And I think it's partly because he's a rookie, partly because he's an intellectual, and intellectuals usually don't make good politicians. But whatever the reasons, he seems to lack a sort of a political sense, and we see that in a lot of things he's doing, and the way he's basically in a meltdown mode right now. The party's in a meltdown mode right now. So yeah, I think the Liberals are in some real trouble.
So what happens there, do you think? You had a very amusing column about who would be in the wings to succeed him.
Well, I think the Liberals, you know, I think Michael Ignatieff will get a kick at the can. I don't think they'll get rid of him before another election. So I think he'll get a kick at the can. If he's lucky, he'll hold the Tories down to a minority government, and then we'll see what happens. But if Ignatieff does go, there's no real heir apparent to Michael Ignatieff, someone who I think can really challenge the Conservatives any better than he could. That probably the best candidate in my mind would be Bob Rae, and certainly he has his own baggage take along with him, but I think right now he's probably their best candidate.
But if he ran for if he was the leader of the Liberals, that'd be great for you and your writing, wouldn't it?
When Bob Rae was Premier of Ontario, it was my golden age. It was the greatest period of my life, because it was so easy to attack that guy for all the things he was doing wrong, and so easy to raise money to attack him, because he had a lot of enemies, political enemies. And yet, if he became Liberal leader, he would certainly have some baggage with him. He would certainly have a target on him. On the other hand, we were talking earlier about the Conservatives being a disappointment. It's kind of hard for the Conservatives to attack him for being a premier who unleashed all these deficits on Ontario when they had themselves have sort of burdened the province with a massive deficit. So, you know, might even out there. But as far as the Liberals go, yeah, they have some real problems with Michael Ignatieff, and I'm not quite sure how they're going to resolve those.
Now, you're not happy with Stephen Harper. Are there politicians in this country, whether federally or provincially, that you like, that tend to get it when it comes to the sort of values that Canadians have?
I don't really see any politician in this country really sort of being our version of a Ronald Reagan or our version of a Margaret Thatcher.
Why not?
I think conservatives have a hard time communicating. You know, you asked me earlier about, you know, why Stephen Harper wasn't acting like a conservative, and I think part of the problem is communication. They don't know how to communicate conservative ideals. They're afraid to try to communicate those ideals because they don't think they'll be able to sell them. And I think that's just a matter of expertise. That's just a matter of professionalism. That's just a matter of knowing how to communicate. And I think that's the challenge for the Conservative Party. They have to figure out how to sell conservatism to Canadians. And I think there are ways to do it. You have to be smart, and you have to figure out a good game plan. You have to do a lot of polling, but you can do it.
And now, I read on one of your bios, I think it's on your Facebook profile, you're a fan of The Office, are you?
Yes, and I can't wait to see Jim and Pam get married.
Tonight, yeah.
That's right. So it's very exciting.
What character on there, or which character on there, are you most like?
Oh, man, I'm probably most like Michael Scott. Always trying to do the right thing.
Right.
And always getting in trouble.
Now, I'm doing a survey with all my guests today. I'm going to ask them how many books they own. How many do you own, Jerry?
Are you including comic books in that?
Sure.
I don't know. Probably 1,000 books, I guess.
Do you find it easy to get rid of books?
No, they're like my children. It's very hard for me to get rid of them. They're all piled up somewhere. And I know that's not rational. But, you know, I don't like to read fiction. I like to read nonfiction. And I always say to myself, I'm going to refer to that book again one day. You know, this is something I might want to read again, or I might want to look at this up for something I'm writing. So I guess for that reason I like to keep them around, even though I never look at them again.
You like that Brian Crowley book, did you?
I had not read it yet. Brian was supposed to send me a free copy, and I haven't received it yet, and I'm too much of a cheapskate to go buy it myself.
We had him on a week or so ago. Man, I read the book. Man, it's mm-hmm. a great book.
I'm looking forward to reading it because I've heard a lot of great things about it.
Yeah, Jerry, it's been a pleasure to have you on today, and perhaps we can do this again sometime.
I'd love to do it, Joseph. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. Jerry Nichols on the line. Yeah, do read the Libertas Post. It's an exciting proposition. LibertasPost.com, JerryNichols.com is his own website. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plana.